Everybody, it's Celine
and TJ,
and we're back for another episode of
TJ and Celine Nerd Out Two Nerdy Things. We harmonized there.
No, we did really good.
I got goosebumps.
Oh my god, beautiful. Mason did pretty well with you the last time. Like, he did all right.
Yeah, I'd say he. Yeah, he did.
For just throwing him into the wolves.
Yeah, I mean he did a good job. Agreed. We don't have him on this episode, though.
Spoiler alert, Mason joins us on an episode.
Yep. Dungeons and Dragons. That's what we were talking about.
Yes. He said he enjoyed it.
Good. We should do it more often.
He said he would. He said it was a lot less scary than he thought it would be. And I was like, you've done them before.
I mean, if it was just by yourself, like, you'd be like, okay, you got to do this. Go. Like, yeah, that'd be terrifying, yeah. But we're here.
We're here talking, too.
We get support.
We will talk for you for most of it if you need us to.
Great, just chime in when you feel like it.
When you feel it's right. Well, we're back again this week. It's actually the same day for us, but it's a different week for you. I like to clarify that sometimes, because sometimes people are like, when did you guys record that? I'm like, well, sometimes just all at once. Like, if you ever listen to our Halloween episodes, there's a very good chance a bulk of those episodes are one after another. We like, did four in one day one time.
We did. Yep.
That was fun. We would watch it, go podcast, watch it, podcast, watch it, go podcast, rinse, repeat.
Wait, so what would we do?
Watch it, go podcast.
Okay, hold on. Let me write that down.
Okay. Watch.
Okay, we're good. Yep, I got it.
Cool.
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you for clarifying.
You're welcome. I try to be really explanatory in this podcast. Sometimes we do that. And actually, by sometimes, I mean a lot of the time, we do just bulk record. And we'll record two. I mean, two is like the average.
That's our threshold, usually.
Yeah, usually it's two. If it's sometimes we'll record on weekends, especially if it's like a premiere or something like Black Widow. We recorded like Friday after.
We went to the movie and then podcasted right after.
That's right. We podcasted that night.
Because we were like, should we do it? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, because you know, that's Black Widow.
Right.
That's my baby. So sometimes, you know, I don't know, behind the scenes peek, I feel like people sometimes like have a preconceived notion about how we do it. We are in my nook. We podcast multiple things. You're going to get Dungeons and Dragons eventually, and we just recorded that, but now we're recording something else. And I'd like to go over, I've been waiting to talk about this. Okay, like waiting. I want to talk about the sun and how solar flares are affecting us today.
Great topic.
Thank you.
I honestly thought you were going to go right into it. I'm like, oh, we're not doing our our thing this week. Okay. You know, this is a very serious subject, and it's no laughing matter. Because the solar flares, they be fucking shit up.
The flares be flaring.
The solar flaring something fierce.
Okay,
all right. The solar system be solaring.
It just be doing that. For those of you that don't know what a solar flare is, neither do I.
I was like, do you really know? Because I have an idea, but I don't.
So, I do know. A solar flare is a storm on the sun. And what happens is there's a flare up, and it's much like a cloud, but it's obviously the sun is made of fire and, like, lava. That's not the scientific term.
I think it's called magma. God.
Magma. And sometimes it will explode or blast, and the blasts will tend to... This is actually like what I've read. So if I'm off by a little bit, it's because I don't remember it completely. But I do remember a good amount. The blasts will fuck with our orbit, which will fuck with our satellites, which will then give us, you know, like, it'll mess with our systems and whatever. So when people are like, solar flares are crazy, what's your internet? And your internet goes in and out, which I've never experienced personally, but they do say that once in a while. They'll be like, the sun is having a storm, or it's having a storm right now. Solar flares are coming. If you ever watch CNN, they do that a lot to you, and it scares the shit out of me every time. I'm like, oh my god, this is it.
We're gonna die.
This is the apocalypse.
We gonna die!
But yeah, so sometimes if your Wi-Fi goes out and it shouldn't be and no one else's Wi-Fi has gone out, it could be a solar flare.
I did know it was a storm on the sun. I just didn't know if it actually affected Earth or not.
So they say it does.
Yeah.
I haven't had proof of that yet. I'm sure it affects like...
I think like probably more like Earth and... Or not Earth. Mercury and Venus take the hit, the brunt of that.
Yeah.
You know, they take the brunt of that for us. We love them for it.
Oh, slay.
Yeah.
Major slay.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wanted to talk about that and how just, also I'm so mad about Jupiter. I'm sorry. Not mad
about
it.
What did Jupiter do?
It's just, okay, here's the thing. Jupiter has like 58 moons.
Literally.
Okay. I'm just so upset about the fact that it has 58 moons. It's got like thousands and thousands of oceans. And we can't live there.
Well, it's a gas planet.
Okay, stop.
I mean, you could. You wouldn't last very long.
I want to last there. It is Zeus.
I mean, that's true. And it's the Roman Zeus, but yes.
I wish you would have just let me sit with that. People being like, what the fuck is this crazy bitch talking about?
I mean, it's a gaseous planet, so you wouldn't really, you know, you're not going to last there.
It's called evolution. How fast do we do that?
Not
fast enough.
You know, to quote X-Men, every once in a millennia, evolution jumps forward.
I'm going to have to die there.
I want to go in the red spot.
Let me be on Jupiter.
I heard the red spot's actually shrinking, though.
Is it?
That's what I read. Who knows?
Did you hear about Pluto?
Oh, my God. What happened to Mickey's dog?
He's not really a dog.
Dun, dun, dun. Escándalo.
Oh, mi amor.
Mi amor. Ay, Dios mío.
Ay, Dios mío, mi amor. I am warm. Get me a warm.
Give me a cool. And I sound like your mom.
No, I can't help it. I can't help when I'm doing an accent. Especially an older woman that's fainting. I can't help but go into it. I'm like, I'm warm. Oh. Celine.
For those who don't know her mom, that's what her mom sounds like.
For those of you that do.
Yep, you know. If you know, you know.
If you know, you know. TJ always knows when I'm going into my mom. He's like, oh.
Yep.
We're not actually talking about the solar system or solar flares or any of that.
Although it does kind of deal with space.
Which is kind of why I wanted to talk about it.
Right. But it's kind of the opposite of space.
It's like reverse space. It's
literally.
It is. Yeah, yeah. It's the quantum realm, which is underneath us. The part of the universe that we don't get to touch because it's so molecularly small. Yes. TJ, what are we talking about?
We're talking about Marvel Studios, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania.
Quantumania.
So, we had a plan.
We did.
To bring individuals together who were unique. Mm-hmm. I don't know what Nick Fury says. I'm trying to quote what he says. All
right, keep going.
I don't know.
Fuck shit up.
That, if Samuel L. Jackson wrote it, that is what he would say.
It's like, I had a plan to bring together a bunch of motherfuckers.
Yep.
Who could fuck shit up. That's what he would say.
Yep. Just like that. He would.
He would. He for sure yes. would. I love him.
That's the intro we need.
Could you imagine that? I would gag. I would be on the floor. That would be, in the best way, disgusting. I'd be like, yes.
Yes.
Just swear, Nick Fury. I just want him to swear so bad.
Yeah, same.
Like, real swearing.
If they do, like, an R-rated one, I want it to be, like, Nick Fury Unhinged.
Yeah, just, like, F-word everywhere.
Uh-huh. Like Pulp Fiction.
I want snakes on a plane. There are motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane.
Yes.
But except it's like X-Men. There are motherfucking X-Men in this fucking motherfucking world.
Yep. Agreed.
But yeah, we're talking about Ant-Man, the Wasp, and Quantumania.
Yeah, so we had a plan. We didn't watch, but we technically watched half of Ant-Man.
We did.
But we didn't watch Ant-Man and the Wasp. We've seen Ant-Man and the Wasp, yes. But to prepare, we wanted to kind of boom, 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 them in, like, order. And then vacations happened. We were going to podcast that Wednesday before I left. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't packed, and we were leaving early. So I was like, we can't. I got back.
Yeah.
I got back, and Celine was gone for a couple weeks. And then when we got back, movies started coming out. And we really wanted to talk about those first.
We We still have a backlog too.
We do. It's getting down there though. Yeah, I think what is it? The Black Panther and.
Did we already talk about Black Adam?
We haven't talked about Black Adam. No?
Yeah. So we have Black Panther and Black Adam.
So our list is getting down there.
Yeah. We were at like four things.
We were. So we had a plan to watch them or to podcast them. 1 week Ant-Man, next week Ant-Man and the Wasp, third week be Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. Clearly that didn't pan out, but you know what? We're here now, mm-hmm. and we're going to talk about it. Mm-hmm. We talk about the good, we talk about the bad.
And we'll talk about the ugly.
And the ugly truth. Maybe instead of ending on a bad note, should we start with what we didn't like and then end on a good note of what we did like?
Sure. Good idea. That's you a know? Great idea.
Because I would hate to end it on like, oh, yeah, that was, and all right, we're done, you know.
I mean, the pessimist in me loves that.
I mean, I'm just a negative Nelly. I love that. So.
I think we are in agreement in what we don't like. So would you like to take it away on the thing you disliked the most about this movie?
Oh, would I ever. So, I'm not going to lie. When I saw the trailer for this movie, I was excited.
So excited.
I was also very leery because any movie that relies very heavily on CGI for me, it's hard for me to get into the movie mm-hmm. because there's nothing tangible there that you're like, oh, I love that, you know?
There's just something about a practical set.
Yes. I mean, and you know, I heard they tried to shoot in the quantum realm. But they just couldn't get the cameras down there.
No, they just don't have the money to shrink right. everything down.
Right, but you know, the technology's not there yet. We don't have it.
You know what? And it's not their fault. It's not a them problem.
Right, it's a nice problem.
We just get smaller. Yep. Girl summer, except for quantum.
It's quantum girl summer.
Quantum girl summer.
So, I was leery. And my suspicions kind of came true. I will say, it's not a bad movie.
No.
It's also not a great movie.
No.
It's a very mediocre Marvel movie.
Yes.
And I expect better.
Agreed.
Because we've been given better.
100%.
I'm just going to answer with one word answers.
Yes. It's... Once you've been given, once you've been given that fucking feeling of greatness, you cannot take us back. It just isn't done. You can't do that. You can't give us something great, like the 15 years of Marvel that we got. And mind you, it had its ebbs and flows, not nearly as much as this phase of Marvel.
Right.
But once you've given us that, you can't expect us to retreat back and not be critics now. You know what I mean? It's just, unfortunately, we have a very high standard for Marvel now, and they just aren't hitting the mark.
And it's not even like it has to be like hitting that level every time. It's just even their standalone movies aren't hitting that mark anymore. And I don't understand why.
So recently, we haven't talked about Black Panther yet, but just like an example before we go into this. Recently, somebody asked me why Black Panther wasn't. I loved Black Panther for what it was because I love Chadwick Boseman mm-hmm. and it's very much a love letter to him and that's why I enjoy it. It furthers nothing. Okay, until right. the very end, it furthers nothing.
And similar, even then it really does. But
and it's very minor what it furthers, right? And we can talk about that more later. In this movie, it felt like we were on a path to somewhere and it never ever ended up anywhere. Like, it felt like we were going, and then just, like, there was nothing. The quantum realm was just, like, always going on and on and on and on. And even, like, the villain. See, I think that's, like, the dilemma with Marvel now, right? You kind of just get the villain. And I don't know if that's adulthood.
It's a great way to put it.
Yeah, you just get the, there's no, I don't feel like they're doing something for the wrong reasons. You know what I mean? Like, I felt that about Wanda. I felt that way about,
Namor?
Yeah, Namor. I felt that way about, Oh my god, almost every single villain that's come out right now, even fucking,
I can't think of, like, any more, but yeah.
Even, like, the villains in Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
Like.
They're not wrong.
They're not wrong. They're just not wrong. I just think that if you give us a villain with a valid reason, it doesn't make him bad enough. And Thanos had no valid reason to end the planet. Do you know what I mean? Like, right. There's just, like, he just was like, we need to cleanse. Mm-hmm. And it was very Holocaustian weird, right? That made him a bad guy. But, like, Namor wants to save his people. Wanda is grieving. That bitch lost everything.
Mm-hmm.
And even Kang, he is one of many, spoiler, trying to protect something that we have no idea about.
Do we even know yet what he...
Again, valid reason as to why I don't hate him. I have no clue what's happening.
Right.
So, I think that they've made villains now too likable.
Right.
And it's become... And they're trying to... I hate when they flip the script. Do you know what I mean? Like, when they make... Like, they get a villain, and they make him redeemable. It's only worked out well one time, and that's Loki. Because he was never really quite a villain. He was never really quite a good guy.
Right. He always teetered. The Catwoman.
That anti-hero line. Right. That, yeah. Like, Catwoman, Wolverine, all of those, Deadpool, they, like, teeter that weird line of, are they good, are they bad? But, like, Wanda? She's not a villain.
No.
Let's be real. Like, let's be really, 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 really honest.
Right. Okay, do you mean MCU Wanda or Wanda in comic?
Wanda, MCU Wanda.
Right, because she's not.
Comic book Wanda can be a little bit of a nasty bitch.
Yeah.
She's radical.
She has radical tendencies.
Yeah, she's radical. She's a little bit crazy. MCU Wanda has lost her entire life.
Right. Which she has had some radical moments, but still she's not wrong. I will 100%, as Celine says, die on that hill.
I will die on that hill.
Yes, because I don't think the way she went about it is wrong. But
do you always think right? Emotion doesn't travel in rational channels.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Like I always said, what mother wouldn't... We're kind of talking more about Wanda. What mother wouldn't go to the ends of the earth to get their kids back?
100%.
You know? If there was a possibility.
Yeah.
Which yeah.
brings us to, like, Quantumania. The reason they delve into Quantumania is to save one another. Right? Because they open up this portal. Now, as TJ was saying, one of the most, what's the opposite of charming? Uncharming?
De-charming?
One of the most, like...
I can't think of, like...
Just, like...
Unlikable?
Unlikable, yeah. One of the most unlikable things about this movie is how heavily the cinematography relies on CGI. It really does, like... It's such a shame, but it does ruin it. Because,
mm-hmm.
like, there's no tangible thing,
as you said. I don't think there's anything wrong with... I've always said this. I don't think there's anything wrong with CGI.
No.
If it's used as a tool, not relied on to create a whole world, which I get, Quantumania, but you physically just cannot do it. But then don't do it. You know?
Yeah. It's like their ideas are getting too big for...
Right. I feel like it just takes you out of... It takes you out of the experience. You know, as beautiful as the animation was for certain parts... Because I will say, some of the animation is absolutely gorgeous.
So cool. It's so cool.
Beautiful worlds created. And then there's times where the animation is atrocious.
There is one particular time. One particular character.
Mm-hmm. Who was it?
I don't know if you guys remember him, but in the first movie there was a villain, and his name was Yellow Jacket. And he died. We thought. He was actually sent into the Quantum Realm. And the Quantum Realm shredded his body and, like, changed him. To the point
it deformed him.
It deformed him, yeah. To the point where he basically two tiny, tiny arms and two tiny, tiny legs and one giant head. TJ, what was his name?
And a very firm butt.
Yeah, like bubble butt.
Because you get to see the butt.
Yeah, you do. Little bubble butt.
His name is MODOK. I can't remember what it stands for. Murder something. Or not murder.
Machine of death.
Only for killing. But the four is not part of MODOK. Because he's wouldn't that be Modorf? We get MODOK, who... Look, if anyone knows the comics, or even the cartoon of X-Men, MODOK was in it. MODOK is a ridiculous character.
He's dumb as hell.
MODOK is a giant floating head with, like Celine said, two tiny arms and two legs that, like,
Like a baby. Like a giant baby head.
And in the comic, he's supposed to, he's supposed to be terrifying. Like, he's really supposed to be very, because he's very smart, very threatening, very unhinged.
Very, like, Pinky in the Brain.
Right. I just don't know how you translate that to screen and translate it well.
Here's the deal. He's not smart in the movie.
No.
Like, he's not.
And he's not smart. Why was he in it?
He did nothing. He didn't further anything. He, even his redemption arc, which was weird, by the way.
Right.
Like, to do that at the very end. They, at the very end, they do this thing where they try and redeem him by him, like, being a martyr and, like, dying. I don't know. It was very strange.
He basically sacrifices himself to save the clan, I guess.
But out of nowhere.
Right. Because he doesn't want to be a dick anymore.
Yeah, he literally dies asking, am I no longer a dick?
And right.
I'm like, okay. You've heard me on here before. If you are a regular listener, I am a huge redemption arc bitch. Like, I love a redemption arc. If you're a bad guy and you redeem your... You have, like, for example, like, Punisher is a great redemption arc.
Yeah.
Love his redemption
100%.
Arc.
Oh, 100%. It's a great
one. He's phenomenal. Even, like, Daredevil has a great redemption arc where he, like, goes from dark and broody to, like, back to normal, you know? I love a good redeeming quality, okay? Mm-hmm. MODOK had none of the arc and all of the redemption, and it was super dumb.
He literally served no purpose in the movie.
None.
Other than it was an excuse to bring back that character.
Which was stupid.
It was stupid. It was unnecessary. Talk about taking me out of the experience. Every time he was on, I remember the first time he came on screen, I looked at Selena and I said, his animation is so bad.
And your exact words were, oh my God.
It's so cringy. It's so, every time he was on screen, it just made me hate that moment.
He just didn't, he served no purpose and he was dumb as fuck.
He was dumb.
I mean stupid, like genuinely he's stupid.
Genuinely stupid. For a movie that already had a lot going on, I just would have not had included him. You know?
These movies, man, they think they need so many pieces of comic relief. And it's crazy to me, because you're an action superhero movie, you need maybe one comedic relief character, and that was your fucking Bubble Boy. Okay? That was the Blob. The Blob that, like...
Oh, yeah.
Why do you... How many holes do you have? That's my favorite part. How many holes do you have? Seven?
He's like, oh, yeah, that's right. And he was right, because I counted. I'm like, he wasn't
right.
Wait, wrong.
Is he right?
I think you might have more.
I have an extra hole,
yeah.
Females.
Yep.
Not me specifically.
Right.
But... Yeah, he's your comic relief. That's all you need. You need, like, four great comic relief lines.
Right. I think that's maybe the issue, is they're relying so heavily on trying to be funny. And it's like, you don't need to do that, you know? You got us, you know?
You didn't start funny and we liked it.
Like, you already have... Like, do you not understand? You already have us. You don't need to try to impress us with how funny you are. We get you're funny.
It's because they've had Robert Downey Jr., comedic gold.
Mm-hmm.
Because he has timing. He's not even, like, his lines aren't even innately funny.
It's just how he says them.
He's just a good actor.
Right. Same with Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd is just innately funny.
Right. I mean, just how... He has a very dry sense of humor, which is probably why I like it. Because I, too, have a very dry sense of humor. And people either get it or they don't.
Yeah, I am the same. And I deadpan say... You saw it at dinner today.
Right.
I deadpan say things all the time.
Right.
I say that as if you don't see it all the time.
I do. That's why we get along so well.
I was going to say, I see it in you, too. We both will just be like, uh-huh. Mason. TJ will be like, oh, we only do that on Saturdays to people. And they, like, will look at him with wide eyes and be like, what?
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm just kidding. And I'm like, why would you not think that's a joke?
They'll be like, oh, can I have a napkin? I'm like, oh, no, we don't do that on Wednesdays. And they look at you like, what? And I'm like...
I'm kidding.
Like, yeah, you can have a napkin, really? Why would that be a thing?
It's funny how easily they believe you.
I did it to people at the bank all the time. They'd be like, can I exchange this for, like, 2 tens or whatever? I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, I don't do that on Thursdays. And they're like, what? I'm like... I'm teasing you.
It's a joke.
It's called an icebreaker.
It's a joke, Martha.
Yeah. Get with it, Clara.
God damn it, Jane.
Okay, anyways. We talked a lot about MODOK.
Yeah.
Do you have a specific part that you didn't like, or was it the same as mine?
I didn't like that. I had another thing that I didn't like. It's pretty common now with Marvel movies, especially like the most recent ones now. They try to bash in together like a lot of different pieces in order to create the next, like, I would say, like, step in the stairs for the Marvel storyline. And it felt really, like, choppy to me.
Yeah.
So it was like...
Like, it just didn't work.
It just, like, felt like we were introduced to a lot of things that didn't necessarily... Not that I don't love just watching things to watch things. We just podcasted about how we do.
Right.
But I'm watching Marvel to further the story, because Marvel itself is, like, one giant story. Or it's meant to be, at least. I don't know if it's so much so that anymore, which is sad, but, like, it kind of isn't and kind of is.
To interject with that, I remember after we watched Endgame, and I think we podcasted it, or it was one of the... It was shortly after we podcasted one of the Marvel movies. And I can't remember if it was you or me that asked, do you think Marvel will get too big?
It was you.
And was it?
It was you.
I know you listened to our old episodes. And we said, I just don't think so. And
I said, I hope not.
I think you were, you said, I hope not.
Yeah. But, I just listened to this episode.
Yeah. And I said, I don't think that would be possible.
I think anything can get too big. Anything can outgrow itself. That's just like the nature of life. Do I think that they have the means to not? Of course they do. Star Wars does.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, like, Scream does. That's a better example.
Yeah.
In order to move with the people, you have to know... It's funny, because they're, like, kind of... They're trying to, like, play for the younger crowd and achieve a more younger audience again. Here's the deal. The young kids are watching what their parents bring them to.
Right.
So,
They were watching it before.
They're going to watch whatever their parents... Your target audience is us. Okay, mm-hmm. It is the soon-to-be parents right now. I'm not expecting. Neither is TJ.
Hope not.
That'd be shocking.
It really would be.
I'd be like, wow.
I'd be surprised too.
I'd be like, okay.
Yep.
So they're playing for a younger crowd, which is, I think, where the comedy and all of that stuff comes to. You don't need to try to do that. You're going to get the young crowd anyway. Kids fucking love superheroes. They're always going to love superheroes. It's never going to be something they don't love. It's always going to be something that comes back into fashion or whatever. I have yet to meet a kid that isn't a fan of one of the superheroes, whether it be Spider-Man or Iron Man or whoever the fuck.
Right.
And not one kid isn't, like, super excited with me when I... Specifically, my friend Danielle, her son Karsten... Obsessed with Mario. Okay, it's not Marvel, but, like, obsessed with Mario. So excited whenever I talk to him about it.
I was talking to him about it, yeah.
Yeah, were you talking about it?
When he was here for Halloween.
Yeah, he's like, he lights up.
Yeah, he was and, like, oh, are you excited for that? And he's like, yeah.
Yeah, apparently Lush has, like, Mario bath bombs now.
Oh, cool.
And I guess he, like, just, like, had an absolute, just, like, wild time going to get them. He's like, oh, my God, I'm gonna take a Mario bath. Anyway, so I was talking to him about it. We went out to dinner with them and had drinks, and I was talking to him about it, and he actually brought a Switch, so we were playing Mario Kart.
Oh, cool.
And And I was like, are you excited about the movie? And he was like, I'm so excited. I'm excited to see Toad. I'm excited to see Prince of Peach, blah, blah. And here's the thing. The reason he's excited about that shit is because his parents introduced him to that shit.
Uh-huh.
Okay? How the fuck do you think I watched Batman? You think I walked into that theater by myself? No. No, Tommy Kurt walked me in there.
Mm-hmm.
That's my dad, by the way.
I was like, wait, who?
That's my dad. That's his American citizenship name. Talat Ostrich walked me into the movie theater. Mm-hmm. And that's how I fell in love with superheroes.
Because the parents are bringing them.
So, Marvel, if you're listening, which sometimes I feel like you are, because I feel like sometimes I do shit, and I'm like, we just talked about that.
Mm-hmm. We influence shit.
If you're listening, stop going for the young kids, the babies, the ones that have not an iota of what they're feeling, because we tell them what to feel.
Yep.
We're your audience. I want swear words. I want, I mean, I hate to say this, because I would never normally, I want less comedy.
I want a balance.
I want a natural comedy, like right. Like Robert Downey Jr., like Chris Hemsworth, mm-hmm. like even Chris Evans.
Right.
Thor.
Age of Ultron. He's like, shit, language. It's, you know, so funny.
Or this is America's ass.
Right.
and he says it, just, and you're just like, God damn it.
Right. It's just very naturally funny. It's just, yeah, but I agree. It's just...
So, that's one of my hates, is I hate that it's so choppy. It feels like they're channeling an audience that they have yet to understand. It feels like they're not even trying to, it's like, you know when you have a ton of ideas in your head, and you decide to write them all down?
Mm-hmm.
That's what this movie feels like.
That's what Phase 4 feels like. And yes. This is supposed to be the beginning of Phase 5.
Yeah.
So far, it's not a great beginning.
No.
Like I said, it's not that it's a bad movie. It's just really not a great movie.
And it's not hard to watch. But it's not like...
Is it? Just kidding.
It has a lot of good... We're talking a lot of shit, and we'll move on from the shit talking in a little bit. But... Sometimes the crime does not justify the means. Do you know what I mean? Like, sometimes you should not make a movie like this in order to do... just to do an Ant-Man movie. Just like they shouldn't have made Doctor Strange just to make a Doctor Strange movie. That was the same concept.
That's a great way to put it, though. It feels like they're just making the movie to make the movie.
That's what they're doing.
And we don't really understand the end goal right now. And I'm going to be honest, even if we do understand the end goal, I'm going to have a hard time seeing how these movies even tie into that.
Yeah.
You know? Because that's what was great about the first phase of movies was that, yeah, they were their own thing, but they also sprinkled in things about what was coming.
Yeah.
And maybe they're doing that now. We're just not realizing it, but I'm not seeing it yet. I'm not seeing how the pieces are coming together, you know, no. Even like, Jonathan Majors, who is a wonderful actor. Yes. I think he did such a great job as King.
Yes.
But he wasn't menacing enough for me, you know? He's supposed to be like Thanos level, right? But Ant-Man took him down. And he took him down, I would say, pretty easily.
I do have an introduction on that once you're done.
So, like, I get it. Like, he there's multiple versions of him. And we probably have yet to meet the most evil one. But even in this movie, I just didn't feel like he was threatening. Mm-hmm. He did a great job. I'm not saying he did. He did a wonderful job as mm-hmm. King the Conqueror. But I want to see that glimpse of who the most evil one is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like how we'd always get that little glimpse of Thanos. How he would like smile at the end. Or you knew he was pulling the strings. I want to see how King is doing that right now. You know what I mean?
Yes.
What were you going to say?
Say almost the exact same thing, but I was going to interject with the... It's unfortunate that he has, like, thousands... Because I think they gave a glimpse of, like... He's a great actor. He played multiple versions of himself. They gave us a glimpse of every single one. You're so right. Why didn't they give us... He's a great actor. Why didn't they give us a glimpse of the most evil... Who the villain is? Because we don't even know which Kang is the villain yet.
I thought it was this one.
It's not.
And it's not.
No, it's not. This is not the villain. He's actually one of the nice ones, I read.
Yeah.
He is one of the nice ones.
He's really not that nice.
He's trying to save the planet by getting rid of, like, specific ones in order to solve the timeline or whatever. Right. So we haven't even met the evil Kang yet. And, by the way, we've met two Kangs at this point. We've met Loki and we've met Ant-Man.
Mm-hmm.
So we have met two Kangs that are pretty decent guys at this point.
Right. We do get a spoiler. We do get a glimpse at some sort of order of some sort that, Kings. Yeah. And somehow they're like,
they're the timekeepers.
Yeah.
They're the keepers of the timeline.
But so like, are they the ones? Is it someone else? We don't really know.
If we're going by the comic books, there is one Kang out of them all that is the most evil, that wants to disrupt the timeline completely and end the world.
Mm-hmm.
They gave us glimpses of a snake-like Kang. They gave us glimpses of, like, a pharaoh-like Kang. They gave us glimpses of, like, a futuristic Kang. I just wish, like you said, we got, like, that, like... You know that scene where they're, like, talking to Thanos and he's sitting on his throne?
Yeah, exactly.
And he's just talking.
And you, like, don't even see him.
No, you just see his, like, hands and legs.
Yeah.
And then he was like, so he says something like, well, we'll have to fix that.
Yeah, and then he turns and smiles, and that's all you see of him.
And that's it. And
that goosebumps just thinking about it.
Yeah.
I want goosebumps!
I just want... Again, I just don't feel like he's the bad guy.
No.
And that's the problem. They don't give me enough reason to not... I'm almost rooting for Kang at this point. I'm like, damn, Kang, bring down the timeline. Let's start this shit over.
Right. Exactly.
Which is bad.
You know, and I think another part of it... After this, I think we could probably... Unless you have more, we can start talking about what we liked. We'll end it on a good note. I wanted to get the complaints out first. I think another part that is happening right now, and I honestly never thought it would happen, and I even am feeling it myself, Marvel fatigue. As great as it was when they announced all the shows, all the movies and everything, I think it was Celine who said, you don't give them enough time to breathe, to enjoy the characters for who they are, to let us thoroughly enjoy who this person is. Instead of just, okay, yep, we're done. Now we're moving on to Ms. Marvel. We're done with Moon Knight. We're moving on to Ms. Marvel. Okay, we're done with Ms. Marvel. We're moving on to She-Hulk. Yeah, it was literally like, I think, within 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know? And I enjoyed Ms. Marvel. I enjoyed She-Hulk as much as people hate it. You know, Moon Knight was fine.
She-Hulk's last episode was hot garbage.
It really was. But I enjoy her character. She's great.
She was.
I just think that people... are a little overwhelmed.
Well, even you, I mean, I would say we're super fans.
Oh, 100%.
If we had the money, we would go to every Comic-Con. Like, without a doubt, if we were reloaded, TJ and I would be at premieres at movies.
Mm-hmm.
And we're tired. We almost, like, you can hear the difference between, because I listen back to our podcast because I like to remember what we talked about in order to, like, reference them, and it's just like,
yeah,
it's like a narcissistic quality of mine to listen to us talk because I think we're amazing.
Think we are.
No, honestly, I do just listen back because sometimes I like to refer back when we're talking about something. And, you know, I like to remember things. And you can hear the, like, joy and stuff from, like...
Slowly dwindling.
Kind of. Not to say that, but kind of. It's just, like, the excitement you have when, like... So, when we got WandaVision, how excited and amped we were to fucking podcast that. We could barely breathe when we were talking.
So, how do I say it? The end of phase 4, how do you follow up with that? End of phase 3. End of phase 3 was Endgame.
I never realized the phases.
Because we're on phase 5 right now.
Okay.
So, to kick off phase 4 with WandaVision, oh my god, they fucking blew it out of the park for me. I was just like, if each show was WandaVision level... for me personally, would have been great. Would have been I don't think I'd get tired. I really don't.
No.
But you had it that just kicked off great. And then it just kind of slowly, like how you said, kind of just slowly just was like, you know, it's good.
But it's not, again, you don't have to hit the mark every single time. And that's not what we're saying. But it's like winning first place. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards you get like, just like participant awards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, it doesn't make sense why you would do that. It doesn't, none of it. Starting off with WandaVision and ending with the last episode of She-Hulk, bizarre. Like, the two writers don't even, like, aren't even in the same room.
Right. Well, and technically Black Panther Wakanda Forever was the end of Phase 4.
Yes.
But if you're talking about shows, then yes, yeah. She-Hulk would have been the last one.
Sorry, I was talking, like, show-wise.
Yeah, no, I figured that's what you were.
So, yeah, to end on my sour notes with Ant-Man, it's just, it feels like we are doing a whole lot to get nowhere.
We're just kind of spinning our wheels right now.
Yeah.
And I hate to say that because, like, I think we get so into it because we just want to see it succeed. We want to see it do well because we want to keep going to these movies and be like, oh, you know, you want that feeling that, oh my God, that was so good.
We want them to win.
Right.
I mean, not that they're, like, losing, but, like, you know what I mean? They're not... One day, they'll hit a weird wall where they will start losing. And I don't want that to come because I want Marvel to go on and on and on and on, you know?
Because there are so many stories to tell.
So many more interesting stories than the ones they've told.
Right. And, you know, with the X-Men coming and Fantastic Four and there's so many others.
I am hoping that's our saving grace because... I do too. I just really do think that we do need to just, like, go back to our base.
So, from what I've read, the head honcho, Kevin Feige, has said, going forward, they're going to focus more on quality than quantity. Which I agree.
Yeah.
Because...
You can tell he hasn't been a part of a lot of the stuff.
Because they need to change something. Because just for me, it's just not working right now.
No.
And... You know, they're superhero movies. I get it. But, like, at the same time, they also were great superhero movies because they told great stories.
You can, like, yeah, they're superhero movies, but there's a good way to do them. Honestly, like, I'm not even saying this right now, like, because I'm so narcissistic and vain. If they would fucking listen to our podcast, we have some... I'm not even saying this to be funny. I'm saying, like, for real. Like, if I was their marketing team, I would say this. Literally release nothing. Release the title. I say that all the time. They do have a fan base. People will go to this movie. Yeah. It doesn't matter. They will go.
Right.
If you build it, they will come. Like, you know what I mean?
Preach.
So just make a great movie. Don't put any money into marketing. Put a fucking, just a plaque of the movie title and maybe a sound bite. No press tours, no nothing. Nobody slips. And after the movie releases, then do your press tours. Then have them go on talk shows. Then do all of that. But until then, do a Game of Thrones situation and shut the fuck up.
Literally. I think if they did, even if they just did it for one movie, just as a test, if they did it for Spider-Man.
Release nothing.
Because Spider-Man is almost always a guaranteed cash cow. Every,
no matter what.
Even the movies that haven't done well, like The Amazing Spider-Man 2, didn't do well. It was a box office, like...
hit.
It blew records out of the water when it was released. And it was not a great movie. I did not like it. But if you just did... Yeah, I agree.
Right? Batman and Spider-Man, they're guaranteed cash cows. If you were to do that, I would put all of my money into saying that they would do better.
Even Celine said about The Flash, why reveal that Batman's in it? You already have... The fact that Michael Keaton is coming back, our Batman, you have me. You don't need to show me he's in it. I already know he's in it. When I see the trailer and I see him come on screen, I get goosebumps. I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it. I mean, I'm wearing fucking Batman pajama bottoms right now. Like... if they didn't even show him, didn't even do anything, and you went and saw the movie, word of mouth alone would get asses in the seats.
If I was in that theater, because you know we're seeing it anyway. Like, I know we're not even huge Shazam fans, or Flash fans, sorry. Yeah. We're not even huge Flash fans, but we're going to see it anyway, because we do. That's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
We go to see movies. If he were to come on the screen and we didn't know a thing about it, that would absolutely change the way I felt about that movie in an instant.
100%.
Now does it? No, I already know.
Right.
Like, I'm so excited. Yeah. He's going to be my favorite part of the movie because Michael Keaton will always be my Batman.
Yep.
Will always be your Batman. He's our Batman.
Yeah, that's why I say our Batman, because, you know, he's not just mine. He's, I don't know. I feel like when you and I talk, we speak, like, to the mass majority of how people feel.
I feel like it.
You know, so, like, we're not just taking into account our...
I feel like most people agree with us.
You know, like, we're... When people ask me for a movie, I will tell them, honestly, like, I think you'd like this. You know, and...
I usually just tell them my take on it, and then I say, and if you like what I like, then I think you'll like it.
Right, like a movie that you and I really like, The Turning. I really liked it. If someone asked me, would you recommend this? I liked it. You may not. I'll let you do with that what you may.
Same with like Haunting of Hill House. When people ask me for like a scary show, I'm like, this is a scary show that will like move you.
Yes, it's scary, but it's very emotional too.
It's very emotional, and it's very much like has this baseline of a story and progresses through the story. And like, I recommend it. I recommend it if you like scary things that mean something. Just like, I don't know, like even Scream. It's funny.
Yeah, it's weirdly a weird like dark comedy.
But it's like weirdly emotional, I think, because people cope with it. I don't know why.
Yeah. Just want to say this really quick. We're not quite at an hour yet. If we do go over, is it okay if we do a part, like, just continue on? I just don't want to have the time constraint of trying to...
Oh, no.
Is that fine?
Yeah, it's okay. Totally fine. Yeah, we're at 46 minutes, and my phone will be like, boop, you got to stop recording, but we'll just add another part on.
Yeah, because I do want to talk about the good now.
Yeah.
Because we've spent almost an hour talking about the bad. But there's also a lot of good in the movie.
There is. Do you want me to start?
What is it? No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. No, there is. There is. There's good and bad.
Yeah, there always is.
If you want to start, go ahead.
Yeah, one of my favorite parts of this movie is Cassie Lang. I'm sorry, I don't know why I said Cassidy. Cassie Lang is she's always been kind of a big role in Scott's life. Obviously, it's her daughter, but in this movie, she plays like this rambunctious, goes to jail for protesting over like trees type of teenager, and. I don't know about you guys, but I relate.
I was like, a little strong-willed. Do you relate there, Celine?
Just like very, very opinionated and just wants to like do the right thing.
Which I don't understand why that's a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing.
You know?
She wants to do the right thing at cost to herself. I think that's where like the dilemma comes as a parent. You know, like at what cost are you doing the right thing?
Right. So, yeah, I mean, as long as you're not hurting yourself, like, you know.
Which I mean, like sometimes she straddles. She quite a bit straddles that line in this movie. One of my favorite parts, spoiler alert, is she puts on the suit that she has in the comics, and it's purple, and it's so cute.
It's not even like it's not just because it's cute. It looks great on her.
She just looks like a baby Scott.
Right. I don't know. I like the color purple.
Yeah.
I mean the movie, but I mean
I love that movie too.
I don't know. I think because the color purple has always been associated with royalty.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think there's something about the color purple when it's like Agatha.
Harkness?
Yeah. I almost said Agatha Christie. Agatha Harkness.
Yes.
There's just something about the color purple and on screen. It's just like it's majestic and and she wears the purple suit and it just looks so good. Mainly because Scott's suit is red.
Yeah.
And the Wasp is yellow.
Mm-hmm.
That her suit just looks just different. It just looks cool.
So cool. It was so cool. I have like three favorite parts, if you don't mind me going through them real quick.
I don't mind. Before we move on to the next part. So Cassie is recasted in this movie.
Yes.
I was initially really upset. Because I really liked... the daughter in Endgame.
Mm-hmm.
I thought she The little she was on, she did a great job. Mm-hmm. And I was excited to see where it was going to go with them. And when they recast it, I was like, okay, first of all, she's blonde hair, blue eyed. Cassie's dark hair, brown eyes.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I'm all about, you know,
continuity.
Continuity as close as possible. Yeah. That was weird to me.
Yeah.
I will say I was very pleasantly surprised.
Yep. They did dye her hair. It's not a wig.
They did. I don't know if they gave her contacts, but that is minimal. That's whatever. I was very pleasantly surprised. I can't remember her name.
Catherine.
I don't know.
Catherine Winslow?
I'll look it up. I was very, very pleasantly surprised with her. She knocked it out of the park. Yeah.
It's Catherine W. something.
Catherine Newton.
Oh, okay. The W is in there.
It was in there. Mm. Catherine Newton.
Do you know, like, randomly her first name? I don't know why I know these things. It's
I don't
so
know.
Dumb.
I don't know why you know them either. But
like, I just know
I'm here
her
for
first
it.
Name. I'm like, Catherine. And I'm like, as if I've met her. I'm like, Katie.
Yep.
Sweet baby.
Cat,
baby.
Love you. She did a great job, though. I really enjoyed her character. I liked her take on it.
I did, too.
I liked
how she's aged a little bit. She's like,
well,
in her 20s.
And like the actress that played his younger daughter, they had great chemistry.
Yeah.
I think Paul Regis has great chemistry just with anyone in general.
Paul Regis has chemistry.
Right. But in this one, the new daughter, they have great chemistry. Like, I actually believe like they were, you know, father daughter.
They also like play off of each other. Like, very well.
Yes.
Just like the baby daughter did.
Yes. Yeah, she very much brought something to it herself, but very much in the vein of...
She embodied the little one quite a bit.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So I did enjoy her.
Yeah, I did too. She was really great. It was one of my favorite parts of the movie, was having Catherine Newton as Cassie Lang.
Yeah, and she's a tough... She, like, does
she's
tough
kind,
well.
She's a badass. You
yeah.
wouldn't think it.
No.
But you know what? She was also in a like a slasher movie,
yeah.
and she did really well.
Freak.
Yeah, it was like Freaky Friday.
Was it just called Freak?
I think so. Her and Vince Vaughn. Vince Vaughn was like a serial killer, and she was just a college student. And they switched bodies.
Yeah, it's like a Freaky Friday.
Yeah. So I think Freak is right. That's what I was saying.
Freaky.
Okay. So just Freaky.
Yeah.
No Friday.
So okay. Yeah.
So and she played Vince Vaughn like a man really well.
She did.
It was really great. So when she got cast in this, I was like pretty confident that she would like play a badass well, because
she yeah, she did. She did a great job.
And she's funny. So
she is. She's very funny.
She's like randomly in things too. Like, she's also in Detective Pikachu.
That's right. I forgot she was
reporter.
In that.
Yeah. She's randomly in things and you don't realize it until
yeah,
later.
Mind blown.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways, what were some of your other favorite parts?
Another one of my favorite parts was, oh my gosh, I just had it in my head and I totally forgot. Oh, okay. It's towards the end of the movie. And so we've got Hank is back in this movie, and we also have, Janet is back in this movie. And you guys know Hank has an obsession with ants, and in the quantum realm, the ants have fallen with him. And in the quantum realm, the ants are the size of, you know how people joke and they say like, oh, if ants were the size of humans, they'd be able to carry an entire like truck on top of them and blah, 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 you know, and all this stuff.
Which, okay, before we get into that, have you ever seen an ant? They're freaking terrifying. Go ahead.
They're also really strong. Have you seen an ant just carry an entire ass leaf?
Yeah, just one by itself.
Like
one
like
ant
on
carrying
of,
a giant ass
like,
leaf.
Like, I'm not even talking... Like, a leaf is heavy for
yeah.
an ant. Sorry. Just a bit. My excitement of ants just spit. Take off your glasses, sir. So, the ants are in the quantum realm. There are literally, like, hundreds of thousands of them. Because they were in an ant farm, which carries...
Oh, that's right. I was like, how did they get there?
They were in Hank's, like, giant ant farm that was, like... It was the size of, like, a wall, right? The ant farm. But translated to the quantum realm, where they're of size of humans, there is an entire army stick that and bookmark that, of ants in the quantum realm who are BFFs with Hank.
He can still control them.
He doesn't even, but like, did you notice he doesn't have his controller? They're just listening to him.
Right, because he has a relationship
with
them.
Yeah, they're buds. They're buds.
Yeah.
They're buds. They're besties.
It's weird. I mean, ants.
I mean, like, you know? Live your truth.
You do you, boo.
Live your truth. So, anyway, they, like, give little tidbits and hints of it, but half, like, partway through the movie, I leaned over to TJ and Mason, and I was like, I bet you the ants are going to come in and save the day. And it didn't happen for a really long time, and I was like, I think I leaned over again. I was like, well, I guess I was wrong.
Yeah, you did. And then, like, the next scene later.
And then all of a sudden, there's just, like, this, like, rumbling, you know, like, when the ground is shaking.
Uh-huh.
And just a shit ton of ants are coming towards, like, Kang and his army. And it's just, like, the best scene ever, because Hank is, like, chilling on top of one of them, and he's like,
yep.
He's like, we got him again with our ant prowess.
Yeah.
It was just so great because I just really love scenes like that where, like, just these random, like, things that you don't think will be a hero just become, like, heroes. Which leads to me, unless you have anything to add to that.
No.
Which leads me to number three of my favorite things. This is my last favorite thing, and then you can take over. We have, I don't know what he's called, but he's the Blob. I just call him the Blob.
Oh, yeah.
He's this giant gelatinous
goo
who speaks, and he asks the people, like, oh, like, how many holes do you have?
He's very awkward.
Yeah, he just, like, asks questions that, like, he's like, how many holes do you have? I have none.
Yeah.
And you're like,
like a little kid. Yeah. Like, what's your favorite dinosaur? You know, except he asks, how many holes do you have?
And then you're like, seven?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, so many.
He's like, so I mean, many. This dude is, like, fascinated by orifices.
Yeah, and he just asks so many of them. He just asks questions that you just wouldn't ask.
He wants to know what each one does and how it does it. When.
He's like, what are the two on your face?
Right,
he's like, there's three? There's five. And you're like, oh my God. And then he points your ears.
He's like there with his, he doesn't actually have a clipboard, but if he had a clipboard, he'd be like, interesting. Yeah, what? And what does that do? Oh my God.
So,
yes, queen.
Big slay. You disgust me. I love it. So there is a...
Seriously, though.
At the end, or like whenever this part happened, this time Mason leaned over to me and then I leaned over to TJ. And Mason was like, I bet you that thing just throttles people. Verbatim. Word for word, I remember what he said. And I was like, with what?
Right.
He's a giant blob.
He's literally, he's like Bob the Blob from, Monster or something.
Inc?
No.
Monster House?
No. Legally Blonde. What's her name?
Elle Woods?
Yeah, what's the actress's name?
Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah, she had an animated movie where they were like monsters. She was her name was Susan. And then there was Bob the Blob. He's like Bob the Blob.
Yeah. The mega, she turned into a giant,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, I forget what that's called, but I know.
Monster something, I can't remember.
I don't remember what it's called.
My point is, he's like Bob the Blob, where he really serves no purpose, but he's hilarious.
Yeah, so Mason's like, that dude is going to come in and throttle people. And I mean, this whole movie goes without this happening. And I was like, he doesn't even come back until the very end. And I was like, that's not happening.
Well, because you're like, what is he going
to... Like, how is he going to throw?
Is he going to, like, jump over their, like...
Like, what is he going to jump stretch? On their face? Like, what are we going to do?
Right.
And then he swallows, like, a literal bomb. And it explodes. And creates a hole.
Many holes.
Many holes. And then he gets so excited that he literally turns into a monster.
Well, because you think he's going to die.
No, and he's like...
And he turns around and he's like...
I have holes! Yeah, he's like, I have holes!
And he becomes this, like, big raging monster who just... I mean, he fucks some shit up.
He fucks shit up. And I looked at... I told TJ this theory and then we'd moved on. And then I looked at TJ, and then I looked at Mason, and Mason is shit grinning at us. He's like,
he called it.
Uh-huh. I was like, did you read this before? And he's like, no. I was like, but also how, like, Mason would never. I was like, holy shit.
was so funny, though. It was, yeah. He was the best part. He was the best comedy relief, oh, I think, other than Paul Rudd.
Oh.
But excuse us for just a second. We're going to pause it. We'll be right back.
We're going to let it roll out. And done.
All right. Sorry about that. We ran out of time and we wanted to make sure that there wasn't any gaps.
We wanted to close the gap.
Yes.
Mind the gap.
Mind the gap.
So, yeah. So, the blob.
What, did he even have a name? I don't remember.
I don't remember.
I just call him the Blob.
I just call him the Blob. I don't remember him calling him anything else. I think he did have a name.
Yeah. I'll look it up later.
But yeah, that was my faves.
Fun fact, actually, the guy that voiced the Blob was the actor from the first two movies that he was the Baba Yaga. I forget his name, but...
Paul something.
Yeah. He voiced him.
Yeah. Polka Dot Man.
Yeah. Kind of going back to one thing I didn't like, Luis and his, you know, his gang of friends were not in this one. And I was really hoping there would have been, cause I would have loved a recap from Luis.
I know.
On what's been going on.
I know. But I love Luis.
If you're expecting him to be in the movie, he's really not. So
yeah, no, he really isn't.
Literally like 98.9% of this movie is spent in the quantum realm. So like
literally all of the movie.
Yeah. You have any other favorites?
No, that was my favorites.
Okay. I'll talk about my favorite parts then.
It's your turn.
I love talking about me, my favorite subject. Your turn. Just kidding. So my favorite part is, I really love Michelle Pfeiffer as an actress. Mm-hmm. I love that she was in Ant-Man and the Wasp, even if she was only in it for just a little bit.
Yeah.
And this one, she has I would say this is actually her movie. Wouldn't you agree? Like, this is more her story.
And it also, like, it soothes that part of you that wishes you got a second movie with her as Catwoman.
Oh, my God, I know. I don't even think she's too old to play Catwoman.
If she did, I would watch it in a heartbeat.
I mean, because Michael Keaton does it. They're the same age, roughly.
If anything, if it was just passing the torch or something like that, I'd be fine with that.
Right. I still think she could do it. Anyways, she has a much bigger part in this movie.
Yes.
This movie is... we learn that she spent, or we don't learn, we know that she spent all of her time down in the quantum realm. Mm-hmm. But we don't know to what extent. And this movie really goes into what happened when she was down there all by herself and how she met King the Conqueror. I think she's going to have a bigger part down the line.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully, anyways.
I would.
So I really enjoyed that she had a much bigger part because I really just love her.
I love her.
And she did a great job.
Again, another woman that could play badass so well.
She can, and she still can.
She still can.
Not saying like, oh, she's just so old, but you know what I mean. Like,
she's still hot too, by the way. Oh,
stunning.
Yeah, that hair, she's gorgeous.
And I think she looks really good with, I know it was probably a wig, but she looks really good with gray hair.
Yeah, I know, I agree.
So that was one of my favorite parts.
I love her.
Having Janet there and seeing her kind of kick some ass and all that. I wouldn't say it's not a part I dislike, but I didn't like it either. The Wasp also doesn't really have that big of a part in this movie.
No, not at all, actually. I actually wouldn't, like, I would just go as far as to, like, give her an honorable mention, but it's not, like...
And it's funny because it's called Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yeah.
But she... Other than a really fucking awful haircut. Talk about that for a second. I get it. It's comic book accurate. And I think we've even talked about it before.
Yeah.
In the other one. Oof. It just does not work for her. It doesn't work for her facial structure.
You guys. Obviously, hair is a thing with us. I know that. We know that. We are all aware. So before we go into this hair thing, I want you to know. We know our obsession with hair is very singular for us. That fucking hair. Stop.
She'd look like a boy.
She has the jawline of a man.
Yes.
Okay. She's stunning. I don't mean that in a rude way. Right. You can have a very masculine jawline and still be beautiful.
Right.
She has a very sharp jaw. She has a very sharp nose and she has very sharp chin and a very large forehead.
Right.
She needs a long flowing set of hair.
Right. To
soften.
Yes.
She needs sometimes you need to mute out your edges. Unless you really do want to look... I mean, it's just funny because it makes her look villainous.
Yeah, exactly.
So...
Like, she had a... She's the real villain in this movie.
For real. That haircut is the villain of the movie.
I feel assaulted.
Honestly, stop. But, so it's just... It's... Yeah, it made her look... Makes her look angry.
Yeah.
I would even prefer the bob over this. Like...
Yeah, same. Which, that was an awful haircut, too. But, so, yeah, again, it's not something that I, like... It doesn't take away from the movie for me, but it doesn't really add anything either. Yeah. I just really wanted to point out that she's really not in the movie that much, mm-hmm. which is kind of weird. Cause
kind of a bummer. I love Evangeline Lilly.
Because the second movie... So the first movie was Ant-Man's movie, obviously. Mm-hmm. Second movie was the Wasp movie. And this one was...
It was technically the Wasp movie.
Technically the Wasp, but Janet's movie.
Yeah. So you know? Maybe that's what they meant by Ant-Man and the Wasp. They meant the original Wasp.
Maybe. Oh, maybe. Mm-hmm. But okay, so another favorite part. Again, I was talking about Kang and how they didn't really make him like super menacing. They just, it's just very, it's hinted at. I really love Jonathan Majors as Kang though.
Yeah.
He understood the assignment.
He is, there are very few actors that can like switch between seeming kind of like quiet and minute and then become booming. You know, there's very few people that could do that.
Right.
There are very few actors that can switch between seeming like really like mousy to like very commanding. And he did really well at being like helpless to being like the commander of an army.
Almost like, I don't think they call it this anymore, but like multiple personality. Yeah, like I forget what they call it now.
DID.
But...
Dissociative Identity Disorder.
Yes. That's almost what it was like with him.
I think he kind of might have that.
Who knows? Yeah.
Then, I mean, I don't mean to diagnose him.
Right.
And that's not to offend any sort of community. I just mean, like, I think in a sense, like, with all the Kangs, like, he probably has some sort of identity, like, issue.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, identity crisis much?
Yeah. Speaking of, like, there's so many of them.
Right.
Yeah, it's so curious to me. Because I feel like I do that on accident sometimes. Like, I'll go from being, like, really normal. You've seen me. I've been, like, really normal to really angry. And it, like...
Not to me, but
not
yeah.
Not to you. No, no,
yeah.
But, like, for example, that one time Mason asked me to pick him up, and then he wasn't there, and he showed up at home. I was like, you'd hear how mad I was when I walked inside the house.
I could feel it.
Yeah. It was like...
I probably should have gone home, but it's fine.
Didn't we finish watching Scream?
We did. Because I was like, I'll leave. You know, like, sit down.
I was like, okay. I was like, I am not talking to him right now. He went to bed, so that worked out well.
But I was like, I'm going to go. And you're like, no, sit down. We're finishing. I'm like, okay. I was so scared. Not really, but, you
no,
know.
I think I didn't force you. I was just like, if you don't mind, we can watch it. I'm not. I was like, I'm not planning on. For those of you that don't know that story, Mason drunkenly asked me to pick him up. And then he showed up at home. And instead of me finding out from Mason that he showed up at home, I text TJ and said, hey, like, I don't know where he is. They haven't come yet. I'm so sorry. And he texts me and he goes, he's here.
I was going to say, he's here, which is literally what I said.
And then he followed up with, are you not with him? And I was like, I literally text him back and I go, WTF, no, I'm fucking not. How was he there? Who dropped him off? I sent TJ like 6 text messages. Mason's very inebriated at this point. Again.
You're so nervous.
What?
He was so scared and so nervous for you to get home.
It's just funny.
I just felt so bad. I was like.
It's funny because like I just needed him to like leave me alone so that I wouldn't be mad later. You know what I mean? Like I needed to cool down. I was so mad that I just needed like a moment. Anyway, I got home. And in order to not yell at Mason, I was like, I'm not speaking to you right now. And he was like, I'm going to go to bed.
She's like, do you understand why I'm upset? She's trying, I can tell she's trying so hard to be calm. And he's like, yeah. I should have gone home, but.
No, it's fine.
It was like. It's a funny story now.
I was going to say, it's fine. But it's like being there when your parents are fighting.
And that's what you said. You're like, do you feel like mom and dad are fighting? I'm like, yeah, a little bit.
I think I verbatim was like, it was the courtesy of it all, not the like being put out to pick you up. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway. that is a good example of, like, a flipping a switch. Like, yes. I literally walked in and I was like,
yep.
Hi.
Yeah.
Did you have fun?
Yeah. Good. I'm glad you did.
Did you drink awesome drinks?
Yeah.
You know?
He does a great job of that, though. He does. Because, like, you do almost, in a sense, feel bad for him until he flips and you're like, oh, no, I don't. Sure yeah. don't. Nope, nope, nope.
And they should have tapped into him more.
That's what I'm saying. Like we were scratching that surface.
He you can tell he's able to.
Yes, let's go deep. Deeper.
Deepest.
Oh, right there.
That's the spot.
You found it. Good job.
Not many men can say they have.
It's turned dirty really quick.
Jonathan Majors has. We just want to put this out here. We do know that he has stuff happening right now in the press. We're talking about the movie and the acting and not the actor. So just to clarify and put that as a disclaimer, we're not talking about the politics of the situation. And
that's not what this is about.
This is about the movie. So if that is a conversation you would like to have off air or would like us to touch on, we won't.
I was like, I don't want to.
So it's just, just want to put that out there. We know stuff's going on. We're not above it all. We're not ignoring it.
We know it's there. We acknowledge it. Moving on.
Thank you. Anyway.
Yeah, he does a great job, though. Despite what is going on with him, he is still a great actor.
Yeah, because I don't, like, there are some actors that I'm passionate about, and I believe that when they say they're honest, I just don't know him that well. Like, as an actor, he's been in very few things that I've seen. In this movie, I do love him as Kang. I do think he's a great actor. I think he has very huge potential. And, I mean, I hope to see more of him.
Exactly. Yeah, that's just literally what it comes down to is I want to see him go there. I want to see that.
He has the potential.
Right. Like, I want to see it. I want it.
I want a big baddie.
Yes. And Josh Brolin, who was not even actually in the movie,
was a baddie.
Was a great bad guy. And he was, again, all CGI. Other than, you know,
yeah, it was his face.
His face, but it was still CGI, you know?
Everything else was, yeah.
And a great villain. Memorable villain.
So good.
So if you can do that with a computer-generated image, CGI, you should be able to do it with an actual physical person, and I think he can do it.
He could do it. I think they just haven't given him, or maybe they're waiting to, I don't know. We need that one big push.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like they need to push, you know?
We just need, the focus is just not on the right things.
Right, exactly.
You know, and he would have been a great focal point. The build, it shouldn't have been Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania. It should have been, like, Kang Origins.
Yeah, Ant-Man, Kang Origins or something, yeah.
Yeah, and we should have found out how and what. The best thing about the first... Sorry, we're going back.
All right.
The best thing about the first part of Marvel, and I love Kang so much, like, as a character, that I wish we got this, is they gave you kind of the origin of Thanos slowly, but surely. And right now it seems like they're trying to rush things, so they could just do an entire fucking movie about how Kang came to be.
Each villain served a purpose.
Yeah.
Even if they were only in it in that one movie, they still served a purpose to the ultimate end goal. Mm-hmm. Perfect example, Red Skull and the Tesseract. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was in more than one, but he was the main villain in one movie. Yeah. He still played a role in how that story played out. Because if it wouldn't have been for him, we wouldn't have had the Tesseract where it was.
Like Ultron.
Right. Yeah. You know, Ultron.
Without Ultron, we wouldn't have Vision.
Right. Without Ultron, we wouldn't have Vision. So it's like, we want there just to be a purpose for each thing.
Same with Loki.
Yeah.
Without Loki, we wouldn't have the Tesseract.
Right.
Or without Loki, we wouldn't have the Avengers.
Seriously, though.
Honestly. No, truly.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have the Avengers.
We wouldn't. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I enjoyed him as Kang so much, and
he's got a very, like, commanding voice.
He has, I say, like, an old school Hollywood voice. Yeah. You know, like where, like, you know, maybe like Sidney Poitier or, you know, where you have that like certain way of speaking where you're just like.
Like a Cary Grant or Humphrey Bogart. Read to me. Yeah, where you're like.
Talk dirty.
You could fully read one of my nasty books.
Right. Yeah.
That's an idea, Jonathan Majors. You should think about that. A lot of famous people do it.
Yeah. Yeah, it just. I don't know. It's just. He was made to be an actor, I think.
I agree.
You know, he has that. That
he has that.
He, yeah.
He's best used with Michael B. Jordan, too.
Oh. Cool. Anything else you want to say about Kane? Okay, so my last favorite part. We talked about Cassie. I do have another one. I just can't remember what it is at the moment. You can go.
Can I chime in?
Yeah.
Think about it. One of the... I know I already said I had my three things that I liked.
So cool. No, if you... It might even give me a jumping off point.
One of the things I really liked in this movie was the... So, I was really scared that Hank Pym was going to die.
Yeah.
Like, and I thought that was for sure going to happen, and I think that everyone thought that was going to happen.
I actually thought Janet was, but yeah.
I thought somebody was dying.
Same.
I thought someone was dying, yeah. Regardless. Because I feel like they've been doing that lately.
Mm-hmm.
And when, so I thought he was dead, and there was multiple times where he almost died. Just want to say one of my favorite parts is that he didn't die.
Seriously.
Like, I just really like him.
Yeah. I think he does a great Michael job.
Douglas is a great actor.
Right. You know, kind of, you know, another actor where he had his time where he was super popular, yeah. Then kind of fell off a little bit because.
Got married, had a family.
Well, just, you got, you know, Hollywood's a hard gig because if you get older, you're disposable.
He got cancer, too. Yeah. He actually was in, like, stage 3 cancer.
Yeah. So I just love that, like, it kind of, like, rejuvenated his career a little bit.
He's very similar to Paul Rudd, too. He's just really likable.
It's just, like, super funny.
Yeah. You know? His timing. I just really like him, and I wanted to give him his moment, because I feel like he talked about everyone.
Yeah.
About him.
I agree, too. Again, he didn't have a huge part in the movie, so...
But the parts he did have
were funny.
Very good. Yeah.
Like when he saw the broccoli guy, holy shit, that's broccoli. And the guy had like 8 eyes. It was the how he delivered, holy shit. It reminded me of my grandpa.
I love his voice.
How did the movie end?
At the end of the movie, Ant-Man defeats Kang by returning back to the quantum realm and then jumping through. And he defeats that Kang, so all of the Kangs call, like, a meeting.
Like a council of some sort. Yeah,
and so one by one, they, like, first, like, I think 4 of them pop up, and they're talking, and then one by one, like, hundreds and thousands pop up.
Because they're all from...
They're all from different timelines, and you see the timeline starting to,
Fracture
and connect. So the timelines are starting to, like, tornado into each other.
Right.
Is how it ended.
What were the end credit scenes? Do you remember? I'm looking them up right now. Hold on, I'll look them up.
I don't remember. They had 2.
Because the Council of Kings meet to discuss the death of one of their own and plan to get vengeance.
Yes.
Which seemingly sets up the Kang Dynasty storyline for the upcoming Avenger film. Oh, I remember my favorite part. My other favorite part. I'm like, it had something to do with the very end of the movie. A guest appearance. 2 guest appearances.
That's right!
I know! So this is probably a mutual one. Super cool part.
Boy.
We get a cameo appearance from... Tom Hiddleston, Loki, and Owen Wilson, Mobius. And they're, it looks like they're like in like the 1800s, you know, turn of the century type clothing. And he sees a version of Kang and he looks terrified.
And he said, that's him.
Yeah. He's like, that's him. And he's like, Mobius is like, who is that? Do you remember what he says?
He said, he says like, that's
the most dangerous one or something. Something along, like...
That's the...
I can't remember either.
No, it's something about the end of days or, like, the end of... the timeline or something like that. And I can't remember because it was actually quite meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually, like, was kind of scary.
Sorry. He does that all the time. Where he'll, like, come and then he'll just turn and walk away. Her dog.
Hi, come here.
He does it to me all the time, at least.
Come here.
But I'm also not his owner, so. We're just looking to see where the heck he went.
Yeah.
We're almost done. Yeah, it was a very cool scene, though. Because you really didn't expect them to be in the movie. I mean, why would you?
Oh, no.
So, I think it sets up Loki season 2, which we know is coming.
I'm so excited for that.
I am, too.
Again, another great show.
Yeah, again, I enjoyed WandaVision, Loki. I liked Ms. Marvel. That was the one that was hit or miss with a lot of people. She-Hulk was good up until the last episode, but...
I liked Hawkeye.
Oh, Hawkeye, too. I loved Hawkeye.
Hawkeye was great.
I always forget, like... Not because it's forgettable, because I loved Hawkeye. Hawkeye is one of my favorite.
Yeah.
Hawkeye is my favorite Avenger, just like Celine's is Natasha, or Black Widow. But I don't know why I always forget to say it.
It's funny because they're best friends, and they're our favorites.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're besties.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't know. I mean to clarify for that.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know why I always forget Hawkeye, because I love the show. I just, like, I always skip it when I'm thinking of shows.
I know.
But not because it's forgettable, because I really enjoyed it.
It's funny, because I think our lineup is pretty similar, because it's like, Clint is your favorite, and Natasha's mine, and then Wanda is both her, like, second favorites, I think.
Yeah, 100%.
Ugh.
Yeah, so those are my favorite parts. Again, it's not a bad movie.
No, it's not. It really isn't.
I feel like we spent 40 minutes talking about the bad and 40 minutes talking about the good.
Yeah, I think we spent an even amount of time.
Yeah.
We had fun watching it. We always have fun watching it, if not for the sake of shitting on it. We always enjoy what we're watching, and we always watch what we enjoy.
Yeah. I just...
Except for The Witch. Or, no, Gretel and Hansel.
I thought you're talking about Scarlet Witch. I'm like, we love the Scarlet Witch.
No, Scarlet Witch I love. Except for Gretel and Hansel. Yes. I'll never love watching that movie.
No. Yeah, I don't know. Should we do our questions? Our three questions?
Would you watch it on a Friday?
At this current... Who am I kidding? Yes, probably I would. Because it's Marvel. We are seeing Guardians on Thursday. Mm-hmm. But that's also because it's Guardians.
Yeah.
I want to say, though, after Guardians, I don't know if I'd go on a Friday.
Kind of want to wait it out now.
Just because the last couple we've been to have been just,
it's been really disappointing, and...
It's a lot of money to spend on a movie that's mediocre.
I was honestly going to say that it's crazy that you said that, because I was going to say, like, I was considering talking to you about, like, maybe from now on, after Guardians, going on Tuesdays, because it's just...
I probably would. Guardians, I want to, just because
it's the last one.
I know it's their it's this last movie with this team.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them I think are going to continue on, but I think a majority of them are going to be done.
Is Chris Pratt done?
I don't know. I heard that this could be Rocket's last movie. We know for sure it's Drax's last movie. I know Zoe Saldana wants to be done, because she wants to. She said she's tired of, which I know what a problem to have. She's tired of doing these big budget movies, you know, again, a problem to have. I'll take that problem.
I also get tired of money.
Yes. Yeah. You know, steady work as an actor is really the worst.
How dare they, really?
Considering the fact she's been in like 5 out of the 10 biggest movies ever made. And will continue to probably get royalty checks until the day she passes.
I guess I get why she wants to do some indie shit, because she's gonna get royalty checks forever.
Right, like she has the freedom now to do what she... Who am I kidding? She had the freedom before to do what she wanted. So, you know, whatever. Anyways, I know she wants to be done.
And without them, it's Chris Pratt and Groot.
Right. You know, and Vin Diesel. I mean, he says 3 words and he makes a buck.
Honestly, I get why he doesn't want to be done.
Vin Diesel?
Yeah, I get why he wants to.
I wouldn't.
Because he says he doesn't have to memorize a script. He just has to inflect correctly.
Yes, literally. Like, it's easy money.
No, it's the simplest money. So, yes. Would we see did we see this on a Friday, or we saw it on a Thursday? Would we see this on a Thursday if we now, knowing what we know now? No, I'd see it on a Tuesday.
Right. Yeah. Just because they just have been very mediocre.
And I'm not paying. I'm not paying big budget money.
$18 for a movie.
Yeah.
No. I would. Where we are right now, I would probably pay, and I would have too. I would have paid to see Scream on a Friday over a Marvel movie. And I thought I'd never say that.
It's kind of sad.
Yeah. Out of 10?
I gave it a 4.
Okay. I think I gave it a 5. Because I didn't dislike it, but I didn't love it. It was just... It was very just run-of-the-mill for me. You know what? I gotta even look and see what I gave it now.
So, I gave it a... I mean, usually I'm the lighter grader than you are.
Oh, I gave it a 6. No, I'd give it a 5. That was right after I saw it.
Right after I saw it, I'd probably give it a 6, too. After thinking about it and just, like, talking about it and whatever, cause I give it a 4 because I think that it has no integrity as a movie. It's just a movie. And I think that Marvel is too beyond that, so...
They're better than that.
Yeah.
Agreed. Would you watch it again?
Not yet. Probably eventually.
So, let me put it to you this way. If I was doing a marathon, I would probably skip The Dark World. I would skip Captain America and The Hulk. Which is funny. That's like 3 out of the 5 Avengers. and I'd probably skip this one.
I'd skip Eternals.
Oh, yeah.
I'd skip Doctor Strange.
Yeah. Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah.
Because the first Doctor Strange was beautiful. That was a gorgeous film.
Stunning.
Yeah, Doctor Strange, MOM, and I would probably skip this one.
I agree.
Just because it doesn't really add anything.
I might watch it again because I forgot, and then I remember, and then I won't watch it again.
If anything, I would watch it for the end credit scenes.
Yeah.
To be like, oh, like that's how I had right. to look it up,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't, it's just not one that I...
No, I agree.
...loved, but... Mm-mm. I don't think I have anything else.
Neither do I.
All right. This is a little bit longer episode for us.
Yes, it was. I think
that's okay.
Worthy.
I think we talked about a lot of good points.
I think we did it our way this time and not with the time limit of this thing.
We did it our way. I agree. Yeah, and it was just, like I said, we had been putting it off. And not because we didn't want to talk about it. I just knew it was going to be a longer episode. And...
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure we were up for it, so.
Yep.
But yeah, I don't have anything else to talk about, and you don't have anything else to talk about.
Nope.
So, with that said, TJ and Celine,
out!
Bye-bye-bye!
Bye-bye!
Don't want to be a fool for you!
For you!
Just another player in the game for you!
Two.
Doing the metal version.
I liked it.
Hurt my throat.
I can't hurt mine too. I was like, damn, this is heavy.
Bye, guys.
Bye.